a recruiter is looking for the easiest and safest hire. So if they see someone who is coming from the exact same role that the recruiter is hiring for right now with a direct competitor, for the recruiter, that's bingo. That's exactly what they're looking for. Because for them, it's a great sign that you can do the job. It's a sign that you have those skills. And that's typically the candidate the recruiter is aiming for. Welcome to the Career Diet Podcast, hosted by me, Anna Baleva, a world-recognized career coach and LinkedIn Learning instructor who's helped thousands of professionals discover and land their dream career. This podcast is for ambitious professionals like you, looking to create a career that supports your personal goals, growth, and lifestyle, not the one that requires you to sacrifice them. My mission is to help you see the power you hold in your career and help you become the star candidate every employer is searching for. Think of this podcast as a personal career strategist in your pocket and leave it up to me to provide you with the tools, tips, and resources you need to make job search fun and turn your dream career into your reality. Thank you for tuning in today. Can't wait to see how your career and life shift. Welcome back to the Career Diet Podcast. This episode is part two, where we're talking about hiring truths that I learned working in recruitment. So if you haven't listened to the previous episode where we dove into the first six truths, make sure that you listen to it right after. But today we're covering six more hiring facts. So I will share facts about the recruitment process that I learned myself when I got into the industry, into the recruitment industry, and facts that I wish I knew earlier in my career. And these facts will help you understand what goes on behind the scenes so that you can change your strategy accordingly, and you can also interpret every stage of the process correctly, whether it's applications, whether it's interviews, offers, or even rejections. Now, before we dive in, if you are job searching right now, make sure that you sign up for my free masterclass, The Dream Career. Inside, I break down four steps on how to understand what your dream career is, so what that next dream step is for you, and how to make it your reality. Just head to thecareerdiet.com/dreamjob. Or use the link in the show notes. All right, let's dive into the episode. So I have already shared six truths, six facts in the previous episode. So we're starting with hiring fact number seven. What you have been told are red flags to the employer. So things like a resume gap or job hopping in itself are neutral. What? I know. This is not what you have been taught. But trust me when I say this, when an employer sees a gap on your resume or that you have changed jobs quickly after you took an offer last time, the fact that they see that doesn't mean anything to them. Let that sink in. This fact on your resume does not automatically disqualify you. No employer goes, gotcha, bye-bye. Now, I have seen thousands of resumes. And most of them, most resumes at all levels, all industries have gaps in them. A lot of candidates have taken jobs that were not a fit, or for whatever reason, they had to leave quickly. So a lot of people have shorter work periods on their resume as well. So employers know that. And when they see that on your resume, they just think, interesting, I wonder what happened there. Let me make sure that I take a note of it and I ask them in an interview why they changed jobs there or what were they up to when they were not working for a certain period of time. That's it. It's that simple. And again, when they ask you that question, a lot of people tend to get kind of defensive here and they feel like they need to come up with this great answer. But again, remember that it is very common to change jobs quickly. It is very common to have a gap. So the employer is not asking you because, again, the gotcha point, they're asking you because they just want to understand. That's all. In fact, I want to offer you that a lot of employers won't even ask about it. They will see it, note it, and won't even ask you about it. So you are so worried about it, you potentially don't take action on certain things because you're worried about it. So for example, you took a job, you don't like it, you're only 2 months in, but you feel like I have to stay in this job for a year because otherwise I'm a job hopper and no one's gonna hire me and that's really bad on my resume. So maybe you're not taking action because of it, but A, a lot of employers won't ask you about it, and B, when they ask you, they just wanna know. It doesn't mean anything in itself. Now, when you are asked about it, all you need to do, and my students and I talk about this all the time, all you need to do is to explain it. Hey, I took time off to travel or take care of my health or to take care of my family. That's really all. It's that simple. And if to that, you can also add, and from that, here's what I learned. So from traveling or taking time off or from raising kids, this is what I learned. And this is how it makes me now better as a candidate. That's just cherry on top. It's that simple. So all of those red flags, gap on your resume, job hopping is not actually that big of a deal. Don't get defensive in your head about it. When you're asked about it, just prepare an answer for it, and that's pretty much it. Hiring fact number 8. Recruiters often don't really understand the roles that they're hiring for. Now, here's what I want for you to understand. A recruiter is not a marketer, a salesperson, a customer success manager, a risk analyst, a project manager, a product manager, the list goes on, right? So in most scenarios, recruiters don't fully understand exactly what you will be doing because they have a different job. They're a recruiter, right? So think about it this way. You might have explained what you do to your life partner, to your spouse, to your parents, and they still don't get it. Obviously, it's a recruiter's job to understand it, but they're not the one actually doing the job. So they don't really fully understand it. Now, the more experienced a recruiter is and or the more specialized they are, so let's say they only hire for marketing roles, the better they are at understanding the role. Now, what a recruiter does know is what skills will make you successful in this role, so they know what skills and specific experience they're looking for. So a recruiter typically understands the role overall, but not to the same depth as the hiring manager. And a recruiter typically knows the skills that would make someone successful in this role and the type of kind of general experience that they're looking for. And with that, recruiters look for those skills. So for those specific skills that they know will make someone successful in this role. Realistically, a recruiter is looking for the easiest and safest hire. So if they see someone who is coming from the exact same role that the recruiter is hiring for right now with a direct competitor, for the recruiter, that's bingo. That's exactly what they're looking for. Because for them, it's a great sign that you can do the job. It's a sign that you have those skills. And that's typically the candidate the recruiter is aiming for. And I want to clarify something here. It is not recruiter's job to see the potential in someone who is, let's say, changing careers. So if you're changing functions, industries, it's not their job to see that in you. It's not their job to connect the dots and see, oh, because you've done this, okay, now I know you can do this. It's not what they're trained to do. They're trained to find the easiest, safest hire. So again, ideally someone who's done this role already. So what does that tell you? Well, if you want the exact same job that you have now, you actually have a pretty decent chance of getting an interview by applying online. And if you want any sort of change, it will be pretty hard to get through the recruiter, to get through their ATS system. And again, a recruiter is the one who sets the criteria for the ATS system. It will be really hard to get through and actually get an interview, which is when you need to focus on building your brand online and building your network so that you go directly for the hiring manager. Because now the hiring manager is thinking slightly differently. And the hiring manager is someone who understands the role a lot better. They understand what kind of person it takes to be successful in this job, what kind of skills they're really looking for, what type of person in terms of how you think that they're looking for. So a hiring manager thinks differently from the way a recruiter is thinking. So again, if you are changing careers, your best bet is to go straight for the hiring manager. So meet with them, build a connection with them, help them connect those dots. So help them see, hey, because I bring this experience, I will be really good at this other job that you are probably hiring for. Recruiters are amazing. They do a really important and sometimes complex job. But if you yourself as a candidate want to be in charge of your career, you want to go after the opportunities that you want, I always tell my students to go after the hiring manager, the decision maker, rather than relying on finding the recruiter and meeting with the recruiter. Because as we talked about, recruiters don't really fully often understand the role, and they think about hiring differently. All right, let's talk about hiring fact number 9. Having all the skills for the job does not guarantee the job. Now, when a recruiter sees the candidate, so again, someone who has all of those skills, that exact experience they're looking for, again, someone who's coming from a competitor with the exact same title, a recruiter's mind just lights up. Ta-da, I found the person. This is awesome. This is going to be such an easy hire. But I have seen this countless times. This candidate who seems like a perfect fit doesn't always get the job because the skills and the experience is really just a start. Employers are also looking at how much you actually want the job. That makes a difference. Trust me. I once had a candidate who was really, she was a bit of a stretch for the job, but I felt very strongly that she is a fit. She really wanted the job. And the hiring manager saw that. And the hiring manager actually decided to hire her over someone who, again, came from a direct competitor and had the exact same title. And the hiring manager told me that it is because this candidate just really wanted the job. And it wasn't coming from a desperate place. It was coming from, this is just a perfect fit for me. This is the perfect next step for me. This is what I have done already that will make me a good candidate. And this is what I'm going to do to get better at this. So she just really went all out, and that's why she got hired. And I know that a lot of candidates think, well, of course I want the job. I'm here to interview. I've been job searching for so long. I'm here. Of course I want this. Well, it's not really how it is to the employer. Just the fact that you're there doesn't mean that you want the job. Maybe you're just taking any interview that you can take. They want for you to want this job specifically. So it is important how much you want the job and you showing that you want this job. Employers are also looking at your potential. So where can you go from this role? Do they see you growing into a leadership role, for example? Employers are looking at how you carry yourself. So your confidence and your demeanor, again, makes a difference. I always say that your communication skills are as important and sometimes even more important than your technical skills. And that applies to even very technical jobs. I have hired for, again, hundreds of very technical roles. And the number one skill we're always looking for is communication skills, because you still have to communicate with your team, with your manager, with your clients, with your vendors. And unless you have that communication skill, you won't be someone who really is growing in your career. So that matters. Next, employers look at whether you will fit with the team and whether they like you or not. I know some of you might get frustrated that employers are looking at whether they like you or not. It's so subjective. But you're also looking at, okay, do I like this person? Do I want for this person to be my manager? Or are there lots of red flags? Or maybe I'm just not vibing with them. And that's not someone who I want to spend a lot of time with. So employers are thinking about it the same way. And finally, employers are looking at whether you can explain what you've done before. So whether you can talk about your skills and what you bring to the table. And that actually brings me to hiring fact number 10. Most candidates have no idea how to talk about themselves. So if you ever think, well, I don't necessarily have the right skills or experience for this job, don't worry, because most people who do don't know how to talk about the skills and experience that they do have. So your competition, even if, again, you don't have 100% of a match there, your competition is not that big. And hopefully this will make you feel better. Again, I've interviewed hundreds of people and some of them were very senior. A lot of them were making high six figures. And it is actually pretty painful how badly people interview. People ramble. Most people don't answer the question that they're asked. People struggle to highlight their successes, to find the results that they've achieved, talk about their wins. So if you are good at this, if you learn how to be good at this, you will automatically be ahead of probably 95% of job seekers. So my friend, you have to learn how to sell yourself in interviews. Hiring fact number 11, candidates bail. This is something that I actually did not realize was happening behind the scenes. And this, I think, is going to make you feel better or maybe surprised. I don't know. So what I didn't realize is that a lot of candidates change their mind last minute. So they take an offer and then they decide that they don't want it. And as job seekers, we don't really see that and we don't really realize that. We are just so focused on our job search and we're so focused on getting that one offer that for a lot of us, it's not something that we have ever done, that we took an offer or that we got an offer and we said no to it. I know that a lot of job seekers get discouraged when they see that a job was posted 3-4 weeks ago, or when they hear from the employer that, hey, you actually sound like a good candidate for this role, but we are already interviewing. Or maybe they say that we are at the offer stage or even made an offer to someone. But the reality is this doesn't mean much because candidates schedule interviews and then they don't show up and you never hear back from them. Happens all the time. Or candidates take an offer and then a week before they're supposed to start. So again, as an employer, you stopped your recruitment efforts, you're gearing up to onboard this new candidate, but then a week before they start, they say, you know what, I just took another offer and I won't be joining. And sometimes they start the job and then 2 days in, they say, I just got another offer and I won't be staying here. I actually had a candidate once who did just that. And we already sent him the laptop and everything that he needed. And then for 6 months after that, we were chasing this person to get the laptop back. So again, this happens more frequently than most, I believe, job seekers realize. So what does this mean for you? Well, I always tell my students that it's not over until it's over. Meaning that unless someone is, I don't know, 3 months into the job, you can still very much get that job. And this actually recently happened to one of my students in the Start Canada program, Karen. So she was interested in a role and through networking, she found the hiring manager. She started the conversation and the hiring manager said, hey, we are already interviewing for this role, but how about you interview for a more senior role, which is obviously very exciting, but turned out after Karen started interviewing that she was a little bit too junior for this senior role. So that unfortunately didn't work out, but then she got reached out again, and that was 2 months later from the original conversation, and she was told, listen, we actually didn't hire anyone for that original role, so would you like to interview for the original role that you had in mind? And again, this happens all the time. So if an employer is already interviewing, if they're already discussing an offer, your goal should still be to meet with the hiring manager. So have a conversation with them, meet with other people on the team, whether that is through the interview process, official interview process, or in most cases, it would look like a networking conversation, getting to know each other so that if it doesn't work out for them, you're the next person that they think of. And you're the next person that they invite to interview for this role. And or if it does work out and they do hire, that's great. You now made this really strong contact. And if they open up a similar role 4 months later, you're the person that they call. Now, I can imagine that some of you are thinking, well, what about the runner-up? Wouldn't they just go to that other person that they were considering for the role initially if their number one choice bails? Well, potentially, yes, but I've talked quite a bit about how it's actually really hard for employers to find good candidates. So oftentimes there is no good runner-up. Actually, most times there is no good runner-up. And I've also talked about how there are hundreds of people applying, but there are actually very few viable candidates out of those hundreds of applications. So you should always try to meet with a hiring manager, even if they are already interviewing. And if you're not sure how to do that, if you're not sure how to meet people, even if they're already interviewing, how to find them, how to get them to respond, how to get them on the phone, on Zoom, for an in-person meeting, how to actually turn those conversations into referrals and interviews, I got you. I actually have a free training that breaks that down into very simple steps. It's called How to Land Dream Interviews Without Applying. You can simply head to thecareerdiet.com/easy-interviews or use the link in the show notes. All right, hiring fact number 12. Employers want for you to be happy with the offer and they want for you to join them. Despite the popular belief, most employers, are not trying to trick you. They're not trying to just get the best deal for their buck because they want to find the right person for the role. Most employers understand that the right person for the role will probably cost them a good amount of money. They understand the more senior, the more experienced you are, the more you're going to cost them. Employers know that. And they want for you to be happy with the offer. They want for you to be happy in the role because that means that you will stay in that role for longer. It also means that you will probably work harder because you're happier, you care about it more, you're happy with your pay. So employers want for you to be happy in the role and they want for you to enjoy the role. Now, other bad apples, meaning bad employers who just want to pay the least amount possible, absolutely. But trust me when I say this, this is not the majority. When you get to the offer stage, at this point, that employer is praying that you will take the job, that you will show up on Monday and you won't be one of those candidates who bail. You show up on Monday, you stay, you're happy, you grow in this role. That's what they're really hoping for when they make you an offer. And I know that probably all of you listening here, or most of you listening here, have heard that you need to negotiate the offer. Yet, in my experience, most candidates don't. Even my students need a pep talk oftentimes before they negotiate an offer because it's scary. So use this as proof that when employers make you an offer, they want for you to be happy with this offer. So you have that power to negotiate your package. I have personally gone out of my way to find additional budget for candidates, even though I was told that we don't have that additional budget, but I was able to find it for the right person. I have gone out of my way to help my candidates with visas. This is the mindset that I want for you to have from now on. Employers want me to be happy with the offer. Employers want for me to come on board. So this is how I'm going to approach salary negotiation. All right, my friends. So there you have it, 12 hiring facts. I'm curious, what was the most surprising fact for you? I always look forward to hearing from you. Shoot me a note on LinkedIn under Anna Bolieva or on Instagram at The Career Diet. And if there is anything you would love for me to go over in the future episodes, again, just send me a note and I will try my best to make an episode on that topic. With that, thank you for tuning in. I will talk to you in the next episode. If you found this episode helpful, I would be grateful if you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really does help me put out more free resources just like this to support you on your journey. And if you aren't already following me on social media, you can find even more content to help you build your dream career. Follow me on LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok at The Career Diet, or head to my website, thecareerdiet.com. I am thrilled to have you here with me, and I can't wait to connect with you in the next episode.